Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Need some real expertise, and we have it with the great Mike Lombardi, author of the incredible bestseller, Gridiron Genius. Mm-hmm. Mike is on with us right now. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Angelo. How are you?
Mike, I'm doing great. Obviously, it's a big week in Philadelphia because it's Cowboy Week. Did you guys, when you were in all these different organizations, including with the Eagles, was the Cowboy visit always a big one?
You know, you always want to play good against America's team. I mean, let's face it. They've, you know, as you know, growing up in this area, there's a lot of Cowboy fans here from the time they were on TV so often. And, you know, it's always great to go down there and win, especially in that new stadium, and to beat that team. I think it's always a lot of fun. No matter whether you're in the AFC or the NFC, it really doesn't matter. I mean, the Cowboys are one of those teams that you want to play well against.
All right, Mike, you had many great jobs in the NFL and ran teams as a general manager and other top executive capacities. Did you ever work for a guy like Jerry Jones who had his fingerprints on everything?
Angelo, I worked for Al Davis. I mean,
oh, that's right.
Now.
That's right.
Oh, my. I mean, Al Davis could out Jerry Jones, Jerry Jones. I mean, right. Let's be honest here. You know, look, Al was trained as a coach, though. Here's the difference. Al was a coach at Citadel, at USC, was the first coach of the Raiders. I mean, Al knew players and he knew plays. He could talk about every aspect of the game, from the offensive line play to defensive line to secondary. He knew it all. And so he was versed in it. He lived in it. I think the difference is Jerry just kind of dabbles in it.
Well, yeah, no, what you're telling me is Jerry is nowhere near as well versed as Al Davis was.
There's right? very few in the world, though, Angelo. I mean, I got to be honest with you. There's very few in the world that could play chess with Al when he got down, especially, you know, in terms of game management, building a team, those kind of things. And that's what I wrote about in the book. I mean, the man was truly a master. And some of the things we did in Cleveland with Belichick that's still invoked in New England are stolen directly from Al's playbook.
All right, but let's put you in the war room on a draft, all right, Mike? And mm-hmm. and there's this very strong owner presence in the room, but you've done all the homework and you know who the best pick is. If the owner supersedes you and goes with someone else, how do you deal with that as a football guy?
It's hard, Angelo. It's probably one of the reasons I'm not working in the NFL, because I have a hard time keeping my mouth shut.
Right.
You know, people like guys that nod their head. I'm not a nodder of the head guy. If I think something's wrong, I'll say it, you know. And so, you know, it's hard. It's really hard, especially when you know you're going in the wrong direction, especially when you know this is not something. Like, for example, the Amari Cooper deal. You know, you present the evidence to him and say, look, Jerry, if you want to make this trade, great. Go ahead and make it. I don't support giving up a first-round pick, but why don't we just protect ourselves by lottery protecting the pick? Let's make the deal and say if it's in the top 15, they don't get it. If the pick falls 15 or less, they'll get it. If not, we'll give them our second-round pick. I mean, were they going to turn that down, really? Seriously?
And so you think that was a bad deal for the Cowboys?
Well, I think the potential is tremendous. I mean, look, just say something. People complain about Dak Prescott. The first thing I would have done had I been in Dallas after Jerry made the trade was sign a better backup quarterback. Because what happens if Dak gets hurt? You think Cooper Rush is going to be able to help win games for him? I mean, they'll be picking in the top five. God knows it. I mean, so you've got to prepare your team for the worst-case scenario, and clearly Jerry's just taking it. I mean, he said this. He said he thought his team reminded him of the Rams. Now, I suggest he go to Pearle Vision Center and get an eye exam, because they look nothing like the Rams.
All right, well, let's get to Dak then, because 2 years ago, Mike, we here in Philadelphia were debating Dak versus Wentz. That's really not a topic anymore. Was Dak basically a product of the best offensive lineman you could put together? Is that why he was so good as a rookie?
I think he was really good as a rookie, and I think he still can be really effective, Angelo, but I think they're stale on offense. I mean, if you just take what they've done, I mean, when you go back and look at them, in 2016, they were the eighth best team converting third, four, between third down, four and six, the eighth best team. Now they're 29th in the NFL in that. Now they're 31st, excuse me, in the NFL. So what's happened is they haven't really changed their scheme. They haven't altered what they do. They're still trying to run the basic stuff that they run before, and it's not the same. And they don't do enough to highlight the skill set of what I think Prescott can do. I'm not down on Prescott like some Cowboy fans are. I think he's the answer to turn this around, but they haven't given him enough skill players. I mean, look, Dez Bryant wasn't a number one receiver last year, nor was Jason Witten a number one tight end, but they gave him a presence on the field. Those guys aren't there. I mean, they actually thought Tavon Austin was going to be their skill player this year coming into the season after the Rams, who love receivers, said, no, he can't. You know, they traded him. They said he can't do it.
All right, Mike, you were in a position many times in the NFL to decide the fate of a coach. Would you keep Jason Garrett if you were running the Cowboys?
Well, look, I think Jason Garrett is organizational friendly. I mean, that's what Jerry wants, is a head coach who's going to just stay, you know, not really kind of operate as if he's truly the head coach. That's not the kind of head coach I would want. I mean, I think the head coach has got to see everything. I mean, listen to the mic'd up of Belichick this week on NFL Films, and you'll see what a head coach is supposed to do. He's controlling the whole single game. I mean, I've nicknamed Jason Garrett the clapper because all I ever see him do is clap. You know, he just claps and constantly. And so, you know, he's supposed to be an offensive guru, but their offense is stagnant and not productive. So, I mean, look, it's the classic coach that Jerry wants. But let's remember this. Since he fired Jimmy Johnson, who established the culture and built the team down there, they haven't won very many games since then. I know Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl, but that team fell apart pretty quickly, and it's been hard to get it back.
All right, so for those keeping track at home, when Mike says organization-friendly, he's saying yes, man. All right, just in case you were wondering what he was trying to point out there. Let's move over to our team. Howie Roseman got rid of his best punt returner this week because he thought Darren Sproles was coming back, and then Sproles got hurt. Did Howie miss one there, Mike? Did he blow it? He went too quickly?
I think Golden Tate could actually do that as well.
Okay.
I think Golden Tate could do it just as well as DeAndre Carter. I mean, Carter was a luxury. I mean, first of all, Carter was only a punt returner because he's not going to play in the slot over Tate. He's not going to play in the slot over Jordan Matthews. He's not going to play in the slot over Nelson Aguilar. They've got too many slot receivers.
Okay.
He kind of got in the way. And I think that really it became a luxury that they really couldn't afford. Do I think he thought Sproles was going to come back? Maybe. But I would suspect that Howie knew that even if Sproles came back, he was going to be on a play count. And he wasn't going to be able to do everything. So I think they had a contingency plan, whether it's Tate or someone else to return punts.
Mike, Tate for number three. Is that a good deal for the Eagles?
You know, I think there's really not a lot of downside to it. I think he gives them hopefully he can play on the outside. I think that's going to be the component that's got to work because they got too many inside slot receivers. I like Tate's game. He was trending downward in Detroit. He wants a lot of money, $16 million. He's not going to make that this offseason. But they have very little risk because they'll get a compensatory pick back if they don't try to re-sign him. I think it's a move he had to make. If he could have gotten a running back, I think that would have been the more prudent move to make. But there really wasn't a running back out there that he could acquire.
Mike, who's the best team in the NFC East?
I think it's the Eagles, Angelo. I think this week, I think you'll see Washington's lost three starters, Trent Williams, Brandon Scherff, and Sean Lovell. They're out this week. So they're going to go down to Tampa Bay. Not that Tampa Bay's a great defensive front, but they got Vinny Curry. They got Gerald McCoy, good players, Jason Pierre-Paul. They're going to go down there and play a team that can rush the passer a little bit. Plus, they're playing a team that has explosive weapons on offense. The Redskins' secondary is not very good, and that includes Josh Norman, their high-priced corner. So, to me, I don't like the Redskins team. The quarterback is having his worst season since he was in San Francisco, Alex Smith. So offensively, they're not good. They have a lot of injuries. This has been a problem in Washington for some time. They should really do an organizational study why they have so many injuries as a football team, especially consider that Jay Gruden doesn't want to practice in the summer. They do nothing in the summer. They just want to stay healthy. So I think it's the Eagles by far the best team in the East.
This is interesting because the truth is that we like to give Mike a hard time. He's been our best predictor of games this year. Mike, Eagles are playing the Cowboys Sunday night. What do you say?
Oh, I think, look, the Cowboys can't win if they don't rush for 100 yards. I mean, they are stagnant in what they do. And when they've rushed for 100 yards, they've won most of the games that they've done that in. And I don't think they'll be able to run the ball effectively against the Eagles. And I think the Eagles will be able to rush the passer. Connor Williams, the left guard for the Cowboys, has not been very good. He's not going to miss. He's going to miss this game due to an injury. So this offensive line isn't anywhere near it once was. I think the Eagles will put a lot of pressure on them. I think Dak will have a hard time making plays. I think they'll control the running game. And I think the Eagles' offense will get generating and get going. But the key here, two factors the Eagles for them to improve on. They've got to be better in the first quarter. They've only scored 21 points so far in the first quarter this year after eight games. Last year, they had 101 points in the first quarter after 16 games. That's a huge difference, and they've always played from in front. I've said this numerous times on the show. And when they don't play from in front, they're not as effective as a defense. And the other area they must improve on is red zone third down. The four-point play in the red zone. They're the worst team in the NFL on third downs in the red zone. Last year, they were second best. They've proven those two areas. I think they run away with the East.
So are they going to win this easily, or are we going to have to sweat, Mike? What do you think?
Well, you know, look, it's Dallas, Philly. It's always going to be a sweat. There's, you know, look, Navy's not on anybody's schedule this year, Angelo. Every game's a sweat. You know, you can't just have the bottle of champagne in the second quarter. It's all going to be a fight. But I think eventually, as the game goes on, they'll wear them down, and I think they'll win the game.
The great Mike Lombardi. If you haven't gotten his book yet, get it for the holidays. It's phenomenal. It's called Gridiron Genius because he is one. Mike Lombardi. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks.
Great stuff, man. All right. He said we're going to sweat a little, but we're going to win. I just want to point out that he's right about the slow starts.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's where the fans could help a little bit. I know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.